This is a pre-recorded shiur for Siman Tov Resh Yud Gimel, and we are holding in Siman Tov Resh Yud Gimel Seif Dalet, and I plan in this shiur, which is approximately 10 minutes, to complete the siman. I would like to point out that it is very interesting indeed that this siman is called Tov Resh Yud Gimel. It's number 613, and I wonder what the significance of that is. We know we have got Tayag Mitzvahs, 613 Mitzvahs, and the 613th Siman in Shulchan Aruch is talking about the Halachas of Rechitza, washing on Yom HaKippurim. I wonder what that may indicate and what the meaning of that may be. We're up to Siv Dalet, which tells us the following Halachas. Mishu Istinis Ve'in Dat Mishavis Olav. If somebody is a Istinis, meaning a very delicate person, and we know that in principle we've discussed in the previous shiur, when he's not allowed to wash on Yom Kippur, it's one of the Isurim, one of the Inuyim, when he's not allowed to wash. But if a person is a particularly extremely delicate person and is Istinis, and he will not be able to settle himself, will not be able to he will be irritated and uncomfortable until he's face is washed with water, muta, it will be permitted. So that's again an example, as a previous halachas, of the washing not being a washing for the purpose of comfort, but on the contrary, if he doesn't wash, he'll be under extreme discomfort. Such an instance is permitted to wash. No. This, the custom is to be stringent in this matter, and even if it is in terms of washing one's eyes, shiktasefua, which is like basically going within the medical world, it's the norm. It's for so much hygienic purpose in that it may go within the medical purpose as opposed to comfort. Nevertheless, the meaning is to be stringent because will still be considered a lack of inui if one washes one's eyes. Additionally, also washing one's mouth is prohibited in Yom Kippurim. K'moshin is bala el, as discussed earlier in Siman Tov Kuf Samach Zayin. In Sifkot Nyud Aleph, the bottom the last few words of the page, in Mishnah Sifkot Nyud Aleph, it tells us piv, his mouth, shema yivla k'tzas, begoinoi, he may end up swallowing. So if he washes his mouth, he may end up swallowing. And of course, here the discussion of the poskim is, what about mouthwash? Because one can't brush one's teeth, one may want to use a mouthwash, which we know is permitted in some of the other Tanaisim. The question is, what about Yom Kippur? Can you use a mouthwash on Yom Kippur? The answer is, based on what we saw over here now in Mishnah Berurah, that it's actually awesome. Perhaps he will end up swallowing it, and therefore it's also so. Even if the liquid that we're referring to is something which is not nice, not drinkable, nevertheless, there's a chashash, perhaps he's going to end up swallowing it. So, strictly speaking, it's not within the category of rechitza. Strictly speaking, it's not washing. But yet, there's a chashash, if you are using mouthwash, you may end up swallowing it, and therefore it's also. We continue to see if hey, ha'olich le'beis ha'medrash, somebody goes to the beis ha'medrash, oy, le'agbil p'nei aviv, somebody goes to the beis ha'medrash, or he goes to greet his father or his mentor, his teacher, oy, alternatively, he's going to greet me, she'gadol memenu b'chochma, somebody is much wiser than him, a great Torah sage, or le'tzok ha'mitzvah, or he's actually walking for the purpose of any generic mitzvah. So, yochel av b'mayim, he's allowed to go through water, until he reaches his neck. He's going to get cleaner and he's going to get washed by doing so, but he's going for the purpose of a mitzvah, greeting his teacher, greeting his father. So the reason why he's going, the purpose of this is nothing to do with washing. The purpose of this is something else altogether. Therefore, it's permitted. Ben behalicha, it's not considered washing, it's considered whether it's going there to destination or bechazor, or the returning from the destination. It's going to be permitted. But the only rule that he needs to keep in mind is Shaliov Yodo Mitachas Fas Chalukah, shouldn't put his hand on the garment, like to hold it up. Shuli Chalukah Adzroy, to hold it until his arm. Not to lift it up. and he's not allowed to hold up the garment, which normally would reach his ankles. The reason for that is twofold. Either because it is a heker, so it's recognizable that he does it differently. So he's got to do it. It's a heker. He must be doing it different than normally, and that's why it's permitted. Or because of a gzeir of schita. Either way, the way he goes through this water must be different than in a. He must hold his garment, the bottom edge of the garment. He must lift up. That's all, as long as the water is not running, it's not a strong stream. If it's a strong stream, the imken afechol also would be also even on a weekday. Don't go through a running stream, which is very, very fast running stream. That would be also even on a weekday, because that's simply dangerous. If he doesn't reach, he only reaches his waist. So this is a practical, rather than pure halachic guidance. That yes, you're allowed to go through the river if you're greeting your teacher. Yes, you're allowed to go through the river if you're doing a mitzvah. But make sure that the water is not too strong and the current is not too strong, because that would be dangerous even on a weekdays. We continue to see Vav. How the shori lava begufa b'maim, that we said that it's permitted to go through the river and your body is going to get wet. But you have to go through a mitzvah purpose. That would be only permitted if you're going physically through the river yourself. But if you're taking a little boat or a canoe or anything of that sort, that would be yesh mishon. Also, that would probably be also. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah asks, what if you have an alternative way of going? There is a dry route and there is a wet route. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you've got your base, top line, dafka k'shein lo derech acheres la'agiel shom l'mchus chiftus. Obviously, only talking about a case that there's no alternative. If there is an alternative way of going, of course, surely you must attempt to go the dry route as opposed to getting wet and thereby doing a chitza. Siv Zayin, Horav, also lava b'maim k'dele lech etzal talmidoi. And the other way around, if you've got a Rav, he wouldn't, the teacher, the mentor, the Rebbe, or I suppose the parent as well, is not allowed to go to his Talmud. It's only that way around that you're going towards your teacher, towards your Rebbe, towards your mentor, towards your Rav. But they mustn't go back to the pupil through water, because that's no mitzvah. So what about if you're going to the water to guard your fruit? Somebody in Nebuchadnezzar has got nothing else in his mind than his fruit fields on Yom Kippur. Is he allowed to go and guard his fruit fields? So, yes, he's allowed to, but he's on the way there. The Mishnah Berurah says, "If cotton chofal, Mishum hefsed moman." It's a financial loss. It's a great financial loss. He knows that there is something happening in his field that may cause financial loss. He's allowed to go and guard his precious fruit. Avoloi bechazal, but not on the way back. So if he's going to get wet on the way there, he's allowed to do so. Once he's checked and he knows now everything is fine, he's not allowed to return through water, because that chazal didn't permit. Chachomim permitted to go through water and back when it's for mitzvah purpose. But when it comes to guarding his field, which is no mitzvah, it's just because of financial loss, he's allowed to go there through water, but he wouldn't be allowed to return through water. See, if Tess teaches us, also it's done in betit, moist cement. Okay, you're not allowed to wash with water. What about with moist cement? If that cools you off and you feel exceptionally chilled, relaxed, comfortable, and you feel good about cooling yourself down with moist cement, it's also, because it's moist. Also it's done in betit lach. You've got the definition of what is considered moist. Moist is that if you put it somewhere else, then that addition, that new layer of surface, that new area was going to get wet in its own right. So it must be pretty wet. If it's wet enough to get the new surface wet, if you put it there, that would be considered also to cool yourself down with that. Also, it's done in the kelim shesh by maim. If you've got a vessel which holds cold water and you want to just cool yourself down with that, that's also forbidden. Also, it's done in the kelim shesh by maim. You're not to cool yourself down with a vessel which holds cold water. Afilim chasem, even if it's lacking, it's half full. Ben shalchayas, whether it's china. Ben shalmatchas, whether it's made out of metal. Afilim reikim, avalim reikim mutar, but if these vessels are completely dry, it's permitted. V'chem beperos, v'vitzinok. Also, when it comes to fruit, you've got a really cold apple from the fridge and you want to put it on your forehead because you're very hot. That's permitted. Only if the kelim, if you're doing that with a bowl or a plate or a knife or a spoon or whatever it is, if it's far full or completely full, of course, it will be also because we're concerned maybe it's going to spill out and you're going to get wet and clean from the water that is spilling. V'osu lisho is mapo miboyim v'lasoy is kimin kelim neguvim letzdanem boboyim kippa. To take a mapo, a towel, and you put it in the water miboyim before Yom Kippur, v'lasoy is kimin kelim neguvim, and you have a moist towel now, which you want to cool yourself down on Yom Kippur with that. That's also the chashin on Shem Latino give you offer. We offer the schita because we're concerned if it's not going to be fully dry, you're going to be over on schita squeezing on Yom Kippur, which is the Issa Deraisa. Hachoyle roichetz kedarko. If somebody's ill, is allowed to wash himself, afa pishen imesukin, even if he's not in danger. Kalos, if you, the kalo, the bride who just got married, kol shloshim yoim, within the first 30 days of her wedding, muteres lichetz poneo, she's allowed to wash her face. We want it to look attractive, especially straight after the chasna, and therefore we allow to wash herself within the within 30 days after her chasna. Yud Aleph, Mishiro Keri Bizman HaZebim HaKippurim, somebody who saw Keri on Yom Kippur, Eimulach, if it's wet, Mekan Chabemap Vedai, you can just wipe it off. Im Yoveshi, if it's dry, Shinislach Lech, you got dirty, Roichetz Mekoyim Isam Nuchlochim, but Elevat Mispal, it's out to just wash it off. The dirty areas, but also lichotz gufo elit boil. He's had to wash his entire body or do a tvila. Even if on the regular year, regular day during the year, he's going to go to tvila, tvilas ezra, nevertheless, it would be also on Yom Kippur to go to mikveh. Pizman hazeh, also leisha elit boil bima kippurim. Nowadays, it's also for a woman to do tvila, to go to mikvah Yom Kippur, afilu gezman tefilasa boi biyom, even if it's the right time to go, it will be delayed until Motzei Yom Kippur. I want to finish off with a fascinating medrash on Sefer Yonah. We find that Yonah tried to escape from the Ribono Shel Olam, and the obvious question is that how would that make sense at all? Yonah, Hanavi, how would it make sense that he's trying to escape from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We all know that it's impossible to escape from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What would actually Yonah think that he's right to do that? The answer given, which seems to appear from the Medrash, is that Yonah Tova Kovad HaMokim, Yonah Tova Kovad HaBein Veloi Tova Kovad HaAv, which means that he knew very well that he will be very successful when he goes when he goes to Nineveh and he tells them off. He knew very well that they're going to listen to him and they will do tshuva. He knew also that Yidden don't always do such tshuva, and it will therefore look a bit bad. Yonah is a very successful dynamic speaker. He's going to encourage, successfully so, the goyim in Nineveh to do tshuva, whereas the Yidden don't always do tshuva so quickly. He didn't want to be instrumental in such a bad, it looks so bad on the Eden. He didn't want to be part of that. He didn't want to be instrumental for something which may look bad on the Jewish nation. He therefore said, I'm not going to be part of that. I don't want anything to do with it. So despite the fact that yes, he was a mitzvah, despite the fact that yes, he was a Navi, and despite the fact that he was clearly commanded to go to Nineveh and encourage them tshuva, he decided he doesn't want to do that because he cared much more about the kovod, the honor of the bane of the son, rather than the kovod, the respect, ha'av of the father. So it seems that's what the message seems to be saying. So tova, he looked after the honor of the son as opposed to the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was prepared therefore to even die for that matter, because he cared so much for the covet of Klal Yisrael. We all know that Yonah was thrown into the water, which was about to die from that. We therefore see how important it was for Yonah to look after the respect of Klal Yisrael. And of course, what the inspiring message of that is, that how often do we actually think of Klal Yisrael before we think of ourselves? How often do we care more about the nation than about ourselves? And truly, this is a very inspiring act that Yonah did. And who knows, perhaps that is the reason why we read Yonah on Yom Kippur, to encourage us, to make us think, and to push us to think much more the regular norm of Klal Yisrael, and to encourage us to truly, truly care for our fellow Yidden. Kol tov.